Alrighty, good evening everyone, this is Gordon, WTTTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, Technical Net. I'll be operating as K2BAR, K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic, please call K2BAR. Okay, very good, well this net is conducted weekly on 9 o'clock at 146.955, the 2 meter repeater of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, and it's located in Alpine, New Jersey. Stations are advised that they might want to have a 141.3 PL, 141.3 PL, and an offset of minus 600 kilohertz. Just an observation, this net is a little different than other nets, and that's it's about having a conversation about amateur radio, computing, electronics, telecommunications, underlying science, technology that supports our wonderful art. It's about what we do with our hobby, what we aspire to do, what we've done, what we aspire to do again, and things we absolutely never want to do again. It's all about telling stories and expanding our collective knowledge. So, we do encourage you to check in, even if you don't have a contribution, because you will, by your presence, help us focus the net. Alrighty, so let's see. We normally do this in a orderly way, but I want to just clean up a couple of folks who I know are here. So, KB2NLA, Chris, what are your intentions for tonight?
Quick announcement today.
Roger, K2EIR. Howie, what's your intention?
The comment, K2EIR.
Very good, Howie. We can handle your comments at the appropriate time. And Peter, what's your desire intention?
I just wanted to inquire, ask a little info there. I'll get that when my turn comes around there. W2PRJ.
Okay, so you have a question. Okay. Not a problem. All right. So before we get too far afield, are there any stations whose call signs begin with whiskey? Wish to check in. Please call K2BAR.
W2JEK with a comment.
Glenn P, Jim in Pearl River, and just Lee listening this evening.
Okay, I have two. I have W2JEK, Don with a comment. And I have Jim, WA2UMP, just listening. That's just fine. And any other whiskeys?
W2PDQ, how are you doing tonight, Gordon? Just wanted to check in.
WA2QBC, no traffic.
Okay, I have Richard PDQ and Bruce WA2QBC, both just checking in. Welcome aboard, gentlemen. Any other whiskey? Charlie, I hear you. WE2R, K2BAR, what's up?
Oh,
a little noisy tonight, but pretty good, Charlie. I got you. Any other whiskeys?
W2KBF, just listening.
Good evening, Dr. Carl. I will get to see your smiling face if you're going to be at the Fairlawn Club tomorrow night. Good to hear you. Any other whiskeys? Kilos.
K2GFM.
DJ, Walt with a question.
GFM, Greg, what are your intentions?
Short question tonight.
Roger and K... Oh, gee, Walter, I forgot your call now. Well, what are your intentions and your call?
Fine, my name is Walt, KC2WDJ in Orangeburg. Good question.
Roger, Walt. Did you say you had a question?
Roger.
Yeah. All right, very good. No problem. Any other kilos? Alpha stations, any alpha stations?
Hey, Willie P, just listening.
Good evening, Willie P. Good hearing you as well. Any other alphas? Okay, any, let's see, Novembers. Alrighty, very fine. Stations should be advised, if you are a member of Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, you're welcome to use the Echo Link in addition to the normal RF access here on 2 meters. Are there any other stations I missed? Please call K2BAR. Alrighty, well then, no further ado, W2JEK, Don, it's your ball, K2BAR.
K2BAR, and that W2JEK, good evening, everybody. Yeah, I want to announce that Bauer's next VE test session will be on Friday, November 20th at 7 p.m. at the Westwood Regional High School. And could test be still $15. Need ID like a driver's license or a passport with a picture on it or two non-photo IDs. And if you are licensed, please bring your license and a copy of it. And if not, you don't have a license, you're going to tech, you'll need a social security number or in advance get an FRN number from the FCC. If you want to use a calculator, that's fine. It has to be a calculator. Memory must be empty and nothing can be can't use any other device such as an iPhone, a cell phone, or an iPod, or any of these other devices that are not allowed. And we just drop in a second. I was at the portable day over at Fairlawn, at the Fairlawn and Barra groups. And I set up shop with a 5-watt QRP rig and that fed wire antenna, and I worked about 40 meters. I worked about 13 stations up in the New York QSO party. I had a great time. Well, it was a little cold, I didn't worry about it. And a lot of good people up there, too. And with that, back to that W2J.
Don't go, you best. Okay, very good, Don. Thank you very much. Anybody have any comments for Don regarding licensing?
You go.
Alright, Don, any follow-ups you want to make?
Thank you, back to that W2JK.
Alrighty, well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Our next comment is going to be from Howie, if I remember right. Let's see if I get this right. Sorry, I got a lot on my desktop here tonight. Howie, your comment, K2BAR.
You go.
Hey, Howie, very fine. Well, is there anything in particular you wanted to recap? Alrighty. Is there anything anybody else would like to rehash or recap about trailer hitch, antenna mounts, and other issues related to trailer hitches? Well, I will say this. Getting a vehicle with a tow package, you need to identify what you need. If you just need a hitch and lights, then that's pretty good. Then you're pretty much set. If you need a brake controller and things like that, because you're not just going to use it for antenna mounts, but you're actually going to tow a vehicle, then that's a whole nother question. And you don't need a brake controller under, I want to say, 2,500 pounds. I think that's the rule. I think. Okay, so you're looking at a four-cylinder engine? Yeah, I mean, I hauled a 2,000-pound load to Estero, Florida last summer on my utility trailer, which included the weight of the utility trailer. It was fine. Up and down hills, hot weather, the whole bit, no undue wear and tear. And it worked great with my little Dodge. And that was quite the adventure, I can assure you. But, you know, like anything else, your mileage may vary, as they say. But I had the 1,700-pound capable Harbor Freight trailer, and it was all of about 2,000 pounds by the time I got all said and done. And you definitely knew the difference between towing and not towing, but it wasn't bad. It was really kind of good. So, all good. That's helpful. The thing about the towing package, from the standpoint of at least having the light interface, you can use that light interface to also switch things. And like when you turn on your lights in the car, you could use that as a way to close a relay that might energize a circuit back there. So that's something to think about too. So you could, you know, trigger something as a function of having your lights on. Anyway, anything else from you or anybody else? KB2NLA, Chris, it's your ball. Can you be AR?
You are a lawyer.
All right, KB2NLA. Just a quick announcement, and I want to put a thank you out there for a lot of people for putting up with me during my time of studying. Last Saturday, I went over to the Fairlawn Club and passed my general. So, passed my general. Passed my extra. So now I'm sending in my papers for the VE, and that's the announcement. I just want to thank everybody for emotional support.
This where we sing Kumbaya?
No singing necessary.
Well, I've heard the voices in this group. There's no danger of violating the music rule. All right, very good. Very good. Congratulations, Chris. Really, I know. I remember when you struggled with your general and struggled with your extra, and it's very cool. I'm sure Pete's pretty happy. Pete, I'm going to have you say a few words. You've known Crystal probably longer than anybody else here.
Yes, one good thing about that W2BRJ over here. Pete in New Milford there, for those who don't know me there. Well, at least I don't have to, keep track of how many times he's failed. I don't know if he's made a Guinness Book of Records on that or not, but I will have to research that and find out there. Yeah, my only other comment while I'm on the air here is there is a MFJ model number 5008, a ultrasonic noise detector. I heard that they manufacture a cell of... Anybody ever hear of it, use it, or know anything about it? W2PRJ, that was my question for the evening there.
You were looking for an ultrasonic cell detector?
Oh, MSJ makes a ultrasonic noise detector for detecting noises in, let's say, transformers up on a pole or... it detects RF interference there. First time I heard about it, thought maybe somebody might be able to use one or know anything about it there. W2PRJ, even if it works or not.
In short, it does work. Whether their device works is another question, but that technology works very well. Don, I think, wanted to make a comment.
My friend Mike W3TS out in Pennsylvania is big on 160 meters, and there's a lot of problems with power line noise. And he has the phone number of the electric company supervisor that handles that kind of stuff. And they use a device like that to detect the faulty insulators. And one of the other fellows I talked to out there, Ed AA3SJ, actually built one of these things. And he said one of the things you can hear with this, because this is an audible thing. You can hear the bats flying around at night, sending out their little radar signals, trying to find where their supper is. So, yeah, it has a couple interesting uses for finding noise sources, such as like poles and stuff like that. I know that they use a like a concentric dish kind of a thing, like a bowl, sort of, I think a stainless steel bowl that they, what this fellow had used out there in Pennsylvania, and they looked at, I don't know a little about the secretary, but obviously you could hear ultrasonic sounds that wouldn't normally hear. Back in the W2J, you can.
Very good, yeah. Absolutely. I think radar engineers makes it a tool, but it's non-trivial in cost for tracking that stuff down. And there are a bunch of other manufacturers who make gear that'll do this as well. Keep in mind that when they have a leaky insulator, it siphons power off of the network, off the transmission network, and costs the power company money. So it's actually, at some level, in their best interest to clear this up, and so they do have people assigned to that task, at some level anyway. Anybody else have any comments on this? Alrighty. How about, let's see, how about, back to Peter.
Thank you very much there. Okay, there. Yeah, that one that MFJ has is $169 or so. And for me, it would be a one-time use. You know, I didn't thought maybe somebody out there, one of the guys on the net, might have had one to sell or know of someone who was selling one. I'm just curious there before. All right, we thank you much there. That's about it. W2BRJ.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Pete. Chris, thank you very much, and again, congratulations. And moving down the list, we have Greg, K2GFM, your ball, K2BAR.
Thanks, Gordon. K2GFM, Greg here. I just happened to tune into the tail end of, or part of the, I guess it's the Barra 440 net that they have at 8:30 before this one. And someone mentioned that they were thinking about having a Barra DMR net, and I wanted to know if anybody knew about it or could point me in the direction of information on it and any insights as to how it might run. Is it run off the NJ Turbo network, or is it a separate repeater? So just curious about that, if anybody has any information.
A WA2UMP with a comment.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I did get an email about that, and Marco thinks that at least it's being proposed, and maybe a net that's every 2 weeks, and it will be on is it 441, the Bergen County FM Association, one of their repeaters, also used the analog on that, and it will be on DMR. Marco could give you all the details, and we're looking for more people to join in for the barriers, so feel free. Marco's call, I think the last three letters are CMA, CMA, some of these might be a similar one.
Yeah, Jim, you fell out of the repeater, but so it's either 443-100 or 444-100. I didn't realize it had DMR, but if it's a Motorola repeater, it could.
Yeah, I was walking around the living room. My signal seems to be getting a little weaker these days. Yeah, Marco will be able to give you the details. His call, the last three letters are ZMA, and the first, it may be KC2ZMA, and he will be able to provide all the details. It will probably be every 2 weeks. And it will be on the one of the Bergen County Association FM repeaters, and it's not linked, but I have no trouble hitting it during the air. You can reach this repeater, you should be able to reach that one. So, looking forward to that net getting started.
Yeah, I'm wondering, why doesn't he just run it instead of the FM net, or start the FM net at 8 and run the DMR at 8:30?
Well, he's going to start the DMR net at 8, and that will fall into the 8:30 net, and more fun begins, of course, at 9.
That sounds fine. It sounds great. All righty. Well, very good. It sounds like great fun will be had by all. It really, really will. So, anybody have any thoughts on this? KBF and then EIR.
Okay, just wanted to clarify, Marco is planning to run the net, but he's, doing the procedurally correct thing. He's obtaining permission from Bergen County FM trustees and officers and such to do this. And what Jim said is correct. That is, Marco has planned to do something between 8 and 8:30 and then just change modes at 8:30 and go right ahead with the regular VARA UHF net. So the idea is to attract people to DMR because they tune in early. They'll hear a little racket, and that might make them want to get DMR radios to participate in the net. So that's all I had to add. Back to net. This is W2KBF.
Very good. What was it? Howie?
Jim, UMP has a DMR radio. And I understand this repeater can produce, contacts via DMR. I'm wondering if he can give us a very brief demo, transmit digitally.
Yeah, this repeater is still the old analog repeater, unless they've upgraded it. Doesn't appear that they have. The 440 repeater, 442-900, has a digital capability, but it's the C4FM Yaesu system, not DMR.
Got it. I thought they upgraded this one, but this is the new repeater. I remember getting an email. Maybe I'm just confused. K2EIR.
Now stand by. I can figure it out pretty quickly. If I could find my handy talkie, I could figure it out real quickly. But anyway, maybe other people. I'm running a really good antenna here, so I don't think I'm going to be able to tell with this radio. Jim, do you want to try DMR through here just for grins?
The DMR radios are programmable only by computer. At least 99% of them. So I would not be able to transmit that without doing some programming that takes into consideration. Could not easily generate that collection.
Well, then, no problem. We will belay that thought for now.
Radio
is great. No, I hear you. That's just fine. We can certainly try it. But another time. Alrighty. Well, there's your answer. Anyway, any other questions, comments, confusions from people?
ABF would comment.
Carl?
It's all.
If anybody wants to play with DMR, the Fairlawn Radio Club has a pair of DMR radios, UHF and VHF. So, stop by on a Friday evening at Fairlawn Club and you can play with the equipment as long as you're licensed. W2KBF.
Throw it in the garbage.
Great idea to come down to the Fairlawn Club tomorrow night. AOT's time 6 and 9. Fairlawn Community Center. Feel free to make yourself comfortable. Come on down. Any more on this DMR business from anybody? Greg, anything last for you? Station with a comment. Who was that?
And appreciate the info.
Okay, who is the station wanting to make a comment?
Jim, and this is just... new exciting product. It's a DVAP that will be DMR /
garbage.
Future release. It'll also allow for system fusion, as they call it. So it'll kind of tie them together, and you'll be able to, for the first time, use reflectors. On the DMR side, it will give you access to the Hytera network and little or no access to the Motorola network. Those guys are a lot more conservative and don't like anything new and exciting. But anyway, if you Google EV4 Mini, you'll be able to see what it's all about. And the product sells for $129. You'll need a DMR radio to access it or Star icon. System will work. Anyway, just something to Google and be aware of. May offer some interesting capabilities.
Hello, Charlie 2, Mike, Mike, Charlie. Copy?
Hello, Charlie 2, Mike, Mike, Charlie. We do copy. Are you checking in? And what are your intentions and names? Hello, Charlie 2, Mike, Mike, Charlie. Go ahead.
Kilo Charlie 2, Mike.
Garbage.
From KC2, Mike, Mike, Charlie, you're on the output direct. You need to use a 141.3 PL and offset of minus 600, please.
You're all garbage.
All right, Kilo Charlie 2, Mike, Mike, Charlie, we'll get you on the next go around. Anybody else have a comment for the net on this topic?
You're all garbage.
Alrighty. Alright, I'm going to go on and we'll get back to Mike, Mike, Charlie in a bit. Before we do that, Greg, do you have any further comments? K2GFM, K2BAR.
K2BAR, K2GFM. Nope, that's great. Thanks. Appreciate the info. Back to net.
Thank you, sir. Alrighty, the next one, KC2WDJ, Yearball Walt, K2BAR. Walter, we're just not getting you. What's up?
KC2WDJ.
Just not really strong for whatever reason. Not quite getting it. Alrighty, well, we'll try you in a little bit. Let's see. KC2, Mike, Mike, Charlie, K2BAR, are you joining us? Walt, you want to try one more time?
I'll talk to you on the
not making it. All right. Are there any other stations with comments and questions for the net tonight? For sale, swap, or wanted items for that matter?
To EIR.
Go ahead, Howie.
Okay, actually, this is Jim's listing. Jim listed, put up on the Rockland Repeater Association's reflector. He was on our now Monday night net. We moved from Tuesday nights to Monday nights. A Millen DFO. I think he's looking for somewhere over $275. This is a DFO that goes from 160 to 10 meters and has something like 7 watts output. He sent a photograph. Boy, what nostalgia. What a beautiful DFO. Of course, it's a vacuum tube unit. So
Jim can tell you more if he hasn't already sold it, but he has the smell of the UFO for somebody who wants a classic station. W2BAR from K2EIR.
KC2, WDJ.
Be very good. Go ahead, Walter.
Postman Mobile, I just got to the top of the hill. I'll be home in a few minutes, so I know I'll have reception if you guys want to wait.
Yeah, we can try to do that, unless you want to shoot your question now.
It's all garbage.
My question from last week, I just want to see if we can get a couple people to talk about how they first got into radio.
Yeah, we could do that. Let's finish up this other topic. Anybody have any thoughts about the Millen VFO that Jim is listing on for sale or swap list?
Yeah, Gordon, that has been sold. I did get $295 for it. It did go. There's a small but active group that's interested in that stuff.
You're all full of garbage.
Tell it to somebody that has one.
I love it. All full of garbage.
Very good, Jim. That's awesome. So you got a good price for a Millen VFO. And I'm sure there were people who are really excited about it. Is that a PTO type VFO or is that a variable capacitor type?
That's all full of garbage.
It has a variable. Geez, I don't even remember now. I think it does have a variable capacitor. I don't. You know, conductor.
Yeah. If you remember, there were some radios that were very pricey that had what they call permeably tuned oscillators, or PTOs. And they make for incredible stability in their tuning, but mechanically their precision metalworking and tooling is just ridiculous. It's much easier to crank a capacitor around, and even though there's vagaries of a stray capacitance, it's a lot better than dealing with the stray inductances. But it comes at a cost to go to PTOs. So, very, very good. Anybody else have any thoughts?
Okay, okay.
You're Don.
During the last classic exchange, I worked with a fellow that had one of those things. I forget his call right now. My paperwork is put away, but yeah, they searched the paper with the classic exchange used them. They try to get away from the old crystal control rigs. They use getting VFOs out on these radios now. So they can put themselves in a good spot on the dial. Like they usually go like 70-45, 30-45.
John, that's pretty cool. It's actually very cool. Anybody else?
And your mom is calling you.
Alrighty. Well, thank you. Let's go to our weekly feature, our newly weekly feature that Walt's instigation, and that is, how did we get involved in amateur radio? I need someone to volunteer first. Anybody?
Bozo the Clown put us on.
Alrighty. Let's see. I'm going to pick on someone who I don't think has ever said. W2PRJ Pete. How'd you get involved in this crazy world of amateur radio? K2BAR.
full units.
A2BAR in the group there. I was taking electronics up at the Fay County Tech in 69 to 1970 in the electronics shop. Matter of fact, my Heath kit doesn't have a VFO. It's got an LMO, what they call a linear master oscillator. So that's a little bit of a different of what they use today there. But I was tapping out 15, 18 words a minute. Never went and got my ticket. And then 35 years later, I retired. And my daughter said, get a hobby. I said, okay. So I went out in 2007, just a few years ago, and I got the, took the test for the technician and the general the first night I was there. Don Younger was the one giving the test there, and then about a year later, I went and took the test for the extra. But that's about it there. I retired. I had a radio. 11 meters in my tour bus for a lot of years. And I said, yeah, I'll go back and get my ham license like I wanted to do when I was in high school. So that's how I did it there. W2PRC.
What a great story. Very, very good. Do we have, let's see, any questions for Peter?
KC2WDJ.
Mr. Walt.
Yeah, just kind of curious about that LMO. Could you explain how that works again?
Oh, I've got a Heath kit set over here. I got the SB401 transmitter and the 301 receiver and what Heath kit calls a linear master oscillator. The inner workings of it, I couldn't tell you. I've never been in there. I've never had to go in and take it apart, so it's in a sealed box. Haven't been inside it there, but any of the heat kit, the equipment there, from this is from 1966, that they call it a linear master oscillator, so... that's about all I can tell you there. Like I said, I've never been inside of it, so I couldn't tell you how it works there. W2PRJ.
Yeah, okay. We should probably look that up. Heath kit linear master oscillator. Probably be worthy of a little Googling around. Come back to that. Maybe, Peter, if you can do that, or... maybe one of the other guys could too as well. I mean, it might be interesting to see what that's about. I vaguely remember the term, but I'm wondering if it was a marketing term or was there something truly, you know, revolving around real engineering for that. Alrighty. Thank you, Pete. And let's see who else. Let me see. W2KBF, you don't always show up here, so let me pick on you for this question. K2BAR, how'd you get started?
Sure, I'll tell you.
Cool.
Like everybody else, I was interested in as a teenager in high school and so forth, but sort of delayed. And finally, when I was in my mid-20s, a friend of mine was really interested in Citizens Band and CB. And, you know, I looked at the stuff and started reading up on it and... looked into it and thought, geez, you know, I could do a lot more if I got a ham license than I could on 5 watts AM. So that's basically how it happened. You know, I got the ARRL books and studied, and so it's because I got interested in CB but realized I could do a lot more with ham radio. W2KBF back to then.
I got involved in it from a bait and switch viewpoint.
Well, no, I never had a regular CB. I had walkie-talkies as a kid. It was when I thought of, you know, upgrading to a proper, you know, 5-watt Citizens Band base station and all that, I just decided to make the leap to amateur radio, W2KBF.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me. I totally get it. and good for you. Anybody else?
W2PDQ. I had an Elmer next door, and he showed me his equipment that was like rack mount up to the ceiling, and taught me how to understand Morse code. And my uncle bought me a $23.95 technician's instruction kit that had all the things to make a transmitter and receiver out of it. God bless the man, that was my Elmer. I wish I could remember his call. Back to you, W2PDQ.
And how long ago was this?
That must have been 1968.
Okay, so more than a few weeks ago. All right, very good. Very good. Well, we've had three of those. I think we're going to stop there. So we'll save some more for next time. That's excellent. Any new topics for the net? Just call KTBAR.
Why are you guys both those?
Alrighty, well, on that note, I think we'll move along here. I want to thank everyone for joining the net tonight. That's been a pleasure. And very, very interesting net, actually. And just a reminder that we have the ComTech group on Yahoo Groups. It's a closed email group. You are welcome to join us on that group. In fact, I think I added Kai, who's now K2TRW. No longer KB2TRW, he's Kilo 2 Tango Romeo Whiskey. And that was the last week I think I did that, but you can either go there and find it and ask to be a member, or you can shoot me an email at whiskey2tango, and we'll add you up. A couple of announcements. Tomorrow night is the Fairlawn Radio Club gathering, 6 to 9. You're welcome to use the station at the shop. Have a grandy old time. The other thing is, I think on Monday is there's a luncheon for the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club over in Montvale at what's that? It's on the circle there on Kinderkamak. I'm trying to remember what that or the Pascack, whatever that is. Davies Locker. Davies Locker in Montvale, I think it is. Feel free to come at noon, but we'd like to hear from you if you're intending on coming or bringing a guest. Feel free to shoot me an email and I'll forward it to Evan, who's kind of our major domo of those things. So anyway, get out while it's still some little bit of warm weather and operate. 40 meters has been pretty good at night. A lot of Europeans and the like, so feel free to get in there. And also the West Coast, I've been hearing a lot of West Coast during this part of the evening, so feel free to partake of that. Maybe next week I'll have a story to tell. I've got a 4-terabyte drive that I just bought that I'm trying to get installed here, and once that's done, I'm going to move the whole desktop computer to a rack. I bought a 4U. Let me drop it. I bought a 4-unit high 19-inch rack mount case for my to replace my desktop computer. I'm going to move all the contents over to that and do some cleanup and remove. I have too many disk drives. I had like 6 disk drives, including 2 outboard ones.
I'm sorry, six. Six, including two outboard ones. So I'm going to consolidate that to a single 4T drive, and then I'm going to put a mirror on it, and, so that way it can it'll have an automatic backup. So it'll be pretty interesting. Alrighty, you guys all take care, and we'll talk more about this later. Above all, enjoy. It's K2BAR, thank you, the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club. Please sit and repeat here, and also W2TTT is off and clear. See you later.
KB2NLA listening.
Hey, Chris, I'm here, but I'm trying to sort out a disk drive issue. I'm getting a little frustrated as to why I can't seem to get this thing to boot.
You're a jerk off.
No problem. Yeah, I'll be in here. Just monitoring.
Roger. Almost seen most of the usual places. W2TTT.
A bunch of jerk offs.
Just do a little bit of shuffling to get everything right. But I'd like to make the 4 terabyte drive bootable. I've copied the contents of the boot drive over from the 250 gig to the 4T, but clearly I have not made it bootable, otherwise it would have booted before.
Okay, well, 250 gig is a pretty good size to begin with, but I've got a couple of multi-terabyte and a couple of different machines that I internal enclosures. Not real fast, but it's a...
No, they're not real fast, but they work, you know. It's all good. Well, finally I got this thing to boot. So I'm a happy guy. So now I have to do a little minute magic, you know, a little magic, and it's all good. But it's gonna be really neat when I get this all moved over to the 4U rack box, because you know, two 4T drives with you know, in RAID. So that way they can actually, you know, improve reliability, et cetera, et cetera.
And if you do the RAID properly, you get full reliability, full backup on it automatically. Otherwise, it's just extra storage.
Oh, you're a bozo, shut up.
Pretty much. It's going to be real good, though. No question about that. So, just bring up the File Explorer here. Windows 10, you know, I really do like it. What I probably will do, though, is I've only got 8 gigs of memory in this machine, and it's kind of the old clunky, expensive memory, unfortunately, but I'm going to slice and dice the equation as to whether or not I want to get a new motherboard and more memory and pay for a CPU, or do I just want to... you know, add more memory to this one and be done with it, because theoretically I could take this machine and, you know, leave it as a dedicated machine, but the whole point is that I wanted to reduce the size and scope of the form factor, so I would still be up for another power supply and probably another case just to get something physically smaller. Since it's got a full-size processor board. Not too many cards in it. I mean, it does have one. Well, it's got an auxiliary video card, it's got an auxiliary disk controller, which will come out, and it's got a FireWire card. So basically, if I can find a way to juggle the video interfaces and possibly the FireWire interface, then I can really make that server box basically be a huge disk storage machine. And with a lot of CPU, and I could have some fun with that. We'll see.
What are you doing with this computer, Gordon? Is it just things, hand programs, and other sort of things? Are you doing graphics editing or what? 8 gig is a heck of a lot of memory for most applications.
Not in the modern world, unfortunately. No, you start running a bunch of desktop apps and running, you know, spreadsheets and running Power SDR or one of the other SDR programs, it can be pretty glommy, you know.
Just run fewer programs, but 8 is an awful lot. I've got, I think, 4 in my primary laptop, and I don't do much in terms of editing, but I've got lots of programs running. Just have them available, and it seems to be enough. Although I start getting a lot of screens open, especially in Chrome. Chrome is just a memory hog, and it just gobbles up memory. One of those things that also leaks memory, and Chrome needs to be restarted periodically.
Oh, I got news for you. Well, I can't speak to the new Edge, but, you know, Internet Explorer was that the same way, and so is Firefox. I mean, they all have slightly different issues and impairments, but, you know, it's still something to consider. Ah, dear, dear. Anyway, let me get back to work here so I can finish this up and go to bed.
I
the garden, yeah. By the way, your best bang for the buck is the solid-state drive these days if you want to speed up the machine, especially if you're low on memory and you're paging. SSD does wonders for systems. I'll catch you later. Good luck with your foils there. WATQBC.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. I have some 500 gig and 250 gig SSDs, so yeah, you don't need to sell me on that point. I am all good. Alrighty, let me see what I can do about solving this interesting dilemma of how do I get this other disk drive to boot. So if I get this other disk drive to boot, life is going to be real simple, real fast. Anyway, 7-3 and be well. What was I going to say? WA2QBC, W2TTT. Thanks for the nice signal report.
7-3, Gordon. I'll catch you another time. WA2QBC, clear.
KB2NLA, W2BRJ. Yes, he's not out there. Okay, W2PRJ going to queue as wide as a 220 band.
Bunch of bozos.
NLA, W2PRJ.
W2PRJ from WA2CLP.
WA2CLP, good evening there. You got Pete over here, he's over there.
Hey Pete, how's it going? Haven't spoken to you in a while. Was wondering how you made out with that noise problem you were looking for, I think, back over the summer.
This guy's a bozo too, you heard.
I still have that noise problem there. I bought a broadcast band filter. It's supposed to cover all the bands. It only works good on 10 meters and 12 meters. Other than that, from 12 meters all the way to 160, didn't do anything there, so... You know, that was an expensive piece of garbage. So it might not have been a broadcast station interfering with the radio there. It might have been something else, but that filter did work on two bands. But that was about it. So now I hear MFJ makes what they call an ultrasonic noise detector. And... it's a little pricey, but it's supposed to locate RF interference, whether it be from transformers or wherever. You can hear bats flying through the air, and you know, it's supposed to do a lot of other things there. You know, I haven't heard anything about it yet, and I'm still doing some research there. W2PRJ.
That's why they call it manufactured junk.
Well, I guess you'll get to the bottom of the problem sooner or later. Yeah, I've had noise problems here over the years. I think the latest problem was this neighbor's TV set, because it sounds like it's on at certain times and off. It sounds like a video picture or something, probably from the plasma TV or something. Well, what are you going to do, right? I use the noise blanker and so forth, and switch different antennas when I can. But I haven't been on HF that much, so, you know, on FM, I don't really worry about the noise. The squelch just covers it up, so there you go. Anyway, we were down in Texas to visit the grandkids. We had a great time. Took the HT down there. Did make some contacts. So, but, you know, didn't spend too much time with the radio, but made a couple of nice ones. Did some walk and talk down there, and it worked out quite well. We were there about a week and a half. We're back now.
Okay, all right. Sounds like you had a good time. All right. I'm kind of leery with anything with Mighty Fine Junk's name tag on it there. They want $169 for this ultrasonic noise detector. I think that's a little, it looks like a radar dish, you know, like a direct TV dish with an iron rod going down the center of it there, and I don't know, anything with their name tag on it, I'm kind of leery of, you know, unless I talk to somebody who's actually had one in hand and used it there, you know.
Well, I've had some experience with MFJ. I have this Econo tuner. What is it? MFJ Econo tuner. I bought it from somebody, I don't know, 30 years ago or something. I still have it. It works. It's okay. It doesn't take a lot of power, but then I don't run a lot of power. I bought their, the MFJ, what is it, SMA mag mount. It lasted all of about a week, so I just took it apart and had to re-solder the connection, adding a little piece in there to shore it up. And I cut off their crimp connector and put on a nice PL259 that I had in the shack, and it works much better. With a little Comet pigtail adapter that I have, it would be taken off, you know, put on and taken off much more easily with the connector I put on. It's not waterproof. It's fair, but it doesn't stand up to the other mag mount I've had for years, the Larson mag mount. That thing works okay. So I know what you mean about MFJ, and I've heard that over the years and many times.
Years ago, they used to be good. You know, there are a couple of products I would buy today. And if I knew it was one of their older pieces of equipment, but anything, you know, built within the last 5 years or at least, you know, 8 years, I don't know. But, yeah, they used to have a good name, and then they started building junk, and that's what PETA people call it, their mighty fine junk there, you know. W2PRJ.
Okay, well, just wanted to say hello. I got some things to work on here. I have the radio on in the background and monitoring a bunch of frequencies, and you know, I'm sure we'll catch up with you further on down the log. So we're good to talk to you again. And I'm going to say 73 for now. W2PRJ from WA2CLP.
Hey, WA2CLP. Yes, I got a transistor and radio over here, AM/FM handheld. Pocket transistor radio probably worked just as good as that thing from MFJ, but yeah, we're going to I can't really walk around the neighborhood there. Can't go up and down hills like I used to there, so I'm going to get my son-in-law to do the walk around for me there. Okay, hey, be safe to where you got to get to there, even if it's only the bathroom.
I did a walk around once. I have this old clunker of a Panasonic. I think it was called an RF2200. It was a nice radio, but it seemed better days. It was short wave. It had AM, FM. It had a great AM and an FM on it, and short wave. So when I had the noise problem, I took it on. I put it in the car and tuned it to, I don't know, 80 meters or 40 meters or something, and drove around a block, and I found that streetlight that was making the noise. Boy, when I got under that streetlight, I found it. And I called the power company, and they changed it the next day. I was making a lot of noise, and you could, you know, hear it. And then when you went to look at the light, you could see what was happening. When it was trying to power up, it would make the racket. When the light came on, it would quiet. But then the light would go out, and it would try to start again. And I walked around, I drove around the block with a radio and found it. 73, WA2CLP, clear.
Okay, yeah, well, there's a certain spot on the AM band where there's that noise that comes through my HF, I got a Kenwood 930, and it comes through all bands, you know, from 160 down to 10, everywhere on every band, but I found one particular spot on the AM band with the transistor radio where it makes the same exact noise. And so with that, I'm going to leave it on that and go outside and do the walk around. Okay, hey, be safe. We'll catch you a little later there. W2PRJ.
73.
How is the non-breakfast cooking morning going? Everything good now?
Yeah. Actually,
woke up a little later. We woke up at 8 o'clock, but pretty productive day. Roger, Roger. Cool. Good stuff. Sorry for the yawning. I'm yawning, but I probably will fall asleep at 2 o'clock now. Yeah, Willie P. came over this afternoon and with an air cannon, pumped up to 60 pounds of pressure. We shot a 2-ounce weight well over the tree in front of the house, well over. We thought it was going to land in the neighbor's yard. So I have the rope pulled up over the top of the tree now. And tomorrow I will finish the installation by pulling the wire back up. Good. Yeah, easy, right? Well, that's good. Got the proposal out of the way. Hopefully you'll hear some positive feedback to that. You'll have an easy day tomorrow. You won't get to drive around in the DeLorean, though, but you know. Oh, man, that would have been fun. That would have been fun, but no time. No time for that stuff. Yeah. Got this weekend. See what I can do with Saturdays. Try to be more productive on Saturday. Things on Sunday, just Patriots. Watch that on TV. Catch up on some bills. Yeah. No, all good. All good. Oh, man. Seriously. All right, that's yawning 3 times in a row. Like, I'm yawning, but I don't feel tired. Does that make any sense? No, I'm yawning. Yeah, plenty of sense. Fire up the computer here, see what's going on. What kind of nonsense is out there? I can go on the internet now, just like I'm just in the ambush with crazy, like, crazy feeds. Even beyond Facebook. Can't escape it. You want anything? Diet Coke? No, I'm good. I'm good. I actually have, I don't even know what kind of tea this is. My daughter went to Tea Vana. I think that's some weird spice, whatever. I definitely taste some kind of ginger in it, but it's not bad.
Nice. I gotta do up the tea collection. Gonna get a good glass, like, last picture. Sorry about that, if you can hear that. That's the repeater. That's the, I need like a good glass picture and start doing up like, brewing up some tea and like, for the week, you know what I mean? Like, do it up, brew it up, throw it in the pitcher with ice, a bunch of orange slices or lemon slices or whatever, and just like, have it for the week. I gotta get in the mode of doing that. I gotta make a moment on Sunday where I can do that, you know, like, 20 tea bags or something, you know, and just do it up that way.
I actually had something. I bought it from, I believe, Chef Central, and it was an iced tea brewer. Well, it was just a glass jar with a spigot at the bottom, and you would throw your tea bags in it and with the hot water, and you would let it steep, and then you would pull the tea bags out, and you're able to fit it on the shelf in the refrigerator. It worked very good.
I think of something like that. Even like, I was looking at a couple portable ones. You know, portable tea infusers that literally just become like a nice 16, 20-ounce glass of tea. You know? And just nice and easy. And with loose tea, you know what I mean? Seep it out, you undo one cover, you snap the other cover on. Like, you know, it's like, you gotta pick up one of these two dads.
I ordered some loose tea from a company called Maple Leaf over the computer. I haven't gotten it yet, but just a regular chai spice blend. It's a pretty good price. I had found a promotional e-coupon to add to it. It took an extra $3 off the price, plus free shipping.
Well done. Hold on, yeah. I've got the place I was buying stuff from, loose tea from, organic loose tea. I gotta look up the website on it. And bookmark somewhere. It's been a while since I moved here. I forgot some of these things. Ordering some stuff. Alright, so you good. You good on the beverages? I think even that tea, portable tea infused. I gotta look that bad boy up. Be good. Okay. Yeah, oh yeah, so I see the appropriate impressions. See the impressions that are going on here. The videos. That was a classic scene from Ghost.
Yeah, well, Kayla was out sick again today, so, you know, while I was making her breakfast, she decided to Snapchat me, singing opera while I was doing her Farina, and then, that was the second video, so, yeah, just a little fun and humor in the, Sweisberger, abode.
Maybe onto something here. Maybe once a month, do a different impression. You know, this could be a departure from the family dinner videos in the series, new show, if you will. I could see that once a month. It could be funny.
Yeah. Well, after picking my daughter and two of her friends up after school, bringing them home to here. I took the laptop out, showed them, and they all just shook their head and got up and walked upstairs. So I had absolutely no group effort there.
There were better here in some helicopters. Pretty close around here. And 2DXT.
Well, let's see. There is no... Yeah, there's nothing. No reported incident in that area right now on the...
There must be some normal run then. Nothing special. Must be real close in flight. Remember, I'm in a little bit of a flight path over here in Clifton. Hear a lot of action over here.
Well, the first attempt at my satellite TV when I bought it shortly after purchasing my house in 93. I went with the EchoStar system, where you actually purchased it out of pocket, $700-something for two televisions. Went up on the roof, put it up myself, and, you know, fine-tuned it as best as I could without any instruments or anything, and went downstairs and started watching TV and noticed that the picture would go pixelated every once in a while, and realized about a week later that the flight path going into LaGuardia was right over my house, and the planes were actually going direct path.
Oh, man. Yeah, that definitely will do it.
Yeah, I actually had to move the satellite dish completely to the other side of the house, you know, to get it to stop doing that.
It's a thing you have to factor in, I suppose. I never had satellite, so I don't know some of the, some of the quirks, if you will, of that. What else affects it? Weather? I gotta imagine weather affects it big time.
The older systems, you always knew when you had a torrential downpour, because you would lose your TV until it's left your area.
It's annoying. It's definitely annoying.
Yeah, it's got more popular. They put a better satellite system in and get a better coverage, better bandwidth, but it had a better signal in. But the first one was a doozy, you know. If somebody sneezed in the next street over, you know, you would lose your TV for a second.
Yeah, Roger. I never tried it on direct TV dish network. I guess it was never a situation where I needed... Though as a sports fan, a lot of sports fans love these satellites because they have these unbelievable packages, sports-wise, you know, games across the country and all that stuff, but they never pulled the trigger.
Okay. I'm going to fix this microphone tonight. Got to press it too hard now. Yeah, satellite was good, you know, and then eventually they came with a larger dish, the dual receiving system, so they were better, but it was fun, you know. And yeah, you're right, the support packages on the satellite are really interesting. I recall that we had the NFL package on the last system that we had, and you were able to watch four games simultaneously.
Yeah, that was a big deal. A lot of people that went for the satellite stuff, I think it was DirecTV, these unbelievable packages of seeing like local games, stuff that wouldn't get national coverage. It was a big advantage. Actually, DirecTV, my former agency, was a client. We used to do the TV commercials for DirecTV. They're always pretty wacky. No matter what agency they use, they're usually pretty funny.
I like the Dish Network Echo Star, as it was called originally, so much that I actually bought stock in it, and it wasn't a lot. I got it right out of an IPO, paid $1.19 a share for it, and I bought 100 shares. It split two times, and that's where we started the college fund with my two daughters. Because then I transferred the money out and I put them into what they call a 529, I forget what it's called now. But both of my kids, that's their college funds because of those two stock transactions that I made.
Yeah, you know, definitely smart moves. Look, firing up the laptop here. Trying to get a little sneak peek here at the weather for the weekend. Shaping up here. A little warmer and then dropping down cold again. Let's get a peek at the weekend here now that we're one day away. Man, October's going by, Chris. I don't know how the deals feel like you. I'm sure they feel like they drag a little bit at times, but it just feels like a flu for me. I can't believe it's like the last week of Halloween. So what, next week? Next Saturday, right? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, come to think of it, that's actually unusual that my kids don't have, like, dolls hanging in bushes. I don't know what's going on. Maybe they don't realize it's October.
Or maybe this year they grew out of that phase. Hopefully.
Yeah, well, when Emily saw the Dacron rope hanging from the tree, she looked up and said, "Do we have any skeletons?"
Sure, I'm sure all kinds of ideas are popping into her head.
Haven't looked at the weather. I think it's going to rain Saturday, if I heard correctly on the news, but I really haven't been watching the weather. You know, I'm going to be out there tomorrow and attempt to get that wire up and over the tree tomorrow. And maybe by this weekend, maybe by Saturday, I'll have the wire into the house and start tuning it.
Hey, Roger. Sounds like a good plan. All right, sounds good. Catching it at 2DXD.
Well, the wife's only got a half a day tomorrow, so I got to get a wire hung before she gets back home.
Alright, good luck tomorrow.
I mean, the kid knows that the rope is up there, but she never noticed, so that way it'll be a nice surprise tomorrow when she goes in the backyard and looks up and sees it.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. It was good knowing you.
Yeah, nice knowing you. Okay, V2NLA, have a good one.
Something here.
Hey,
Pete, how's it going? get that tracking number?
Yeah, I did. They're using UPS ground. It's not supposed to be here until sometime on Monday.
Okay, that's not too bad. Go ahead, Pete.
Good evening, Jets. Just monitoring the frequency there. Ain't heard nobody. It's been quiet there.
Okay. Yeah, it was kind of quiet when I came down here. Did you get a report, Rocky, on what they did to the repeater yesterday?
No. Last I spoke to Jim while he was up there and he was just leaving. I'll probably give him an email today and see exactly what happened.
How am I sounding into the machine?
You're fine. Full quieting. A little hiss in the background, but that's just got to be the repeater.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't getting good reports before, and I was a little concerned. But, all right, cool. All right, let me pack up things. Let me try to get a hold of Brian, try Simplex, but I guess he's sleeping. I don't blame him this time in the morning. Who the hell wants to be up? I'll catch you from the road, KD2BOR, and when are you?
All right, very good. Catch you from the road. Pete, Sean and Chris were on at about midnight, and Chris retired to bed. He's got things to do tomorrow.
Okay, all righty. Yeah, I was calling on him a couple of other channels. Couldn't find him anywhere. I saw him on Facebook. Tried to keep me. As soon as I clicked, Chris, are you there on Facebook? He signed off of Facebook, so figures I just missing him everywhere he goes.
Yeah, I heard you on Simplex 220, but I couldn't hear you strong enough to even go back to you. I heard you calling.
Okay, alrighty. Alright, hey guys, be safe where you gotta get to there. I'll catch you later.
Alright, Pete, I'll be here. I'm gonna be doing some monitoring. I gotta do something for a friend of mine on a picture. Alright, KD2, be warned.
Okay, yeah, hey, you can't work with your hands and talk on the radio unless you got a box with you, but anyway, okay, catch you later. Okay, W2PRJ, we might as well call it a night. There's nobody else out there. 73's guys. Gonna be closing the station there. W2PRJ.
73, sweet dreams.
I'm not going to sleep. I'm just gonna do a nebulizer treatment and get on the BiPAP machine, but I won't be sleeping for another couple hours yet, at least. W2PRJ.
N1LU, KD2LZ.
What's
up, man? Oh, I can barely hear you there.
Charlie leaves his house in the old days. He could get into it from his house, by his house. Then he has to wait a little bit. Something's going on with the receiver. I spoke to Jim briefly yesterday. I got to email him today. All right, I just wanted to say hello. I'm okay. I'm doing a little something by my workbench, so wait for Charlie to get in there. KD2,
be aware.
Go to the mega 440650. Thought for sure he was putting the preamp in line, the new amplifier. That's still the borrowed amplifier. The new one's supposed to put out more wattage as well. So I'm not sure what he was doing. I was hoping you got an email from him.
Like I said, I spoke to him briefly when I got home, but he was getting out of there, and I'm going to shoot him an email this morning and see what's going on.
Yeah, okay, very good. Let me see if Brian came over here. KT2ALC, N1LU. It's not, maybe Brian packed it in. I was starting to get that repeater a little noisy. Were you hearing us over there?
Yeah, I switched my antenna over. the switches and went over there, but I don't get it that great. Even in the shop, I get it maybe about an S7, if I'm lucky.
It's not too bad. You should be able to get into it with an S7. But anyway, oh, what a ride I had home going yesterday. It happens he was bumper to bumper all the way across. It was terrible.
What happened? A bunch of rubberneckers looking at the new bridge?
Lane closed. You know, they alternate. They'll do construction on one side, and then they'll do something on the other side. I don't know why they're doing anything at all, considering we're getting a new bridge in a couple of years, but I guess they just have to do regular maintenance.
Yeah, I woke up last night for a little bit, heard a little bit of the net, and I put my head back down and went to sleep. When you get closer, we'll go to that other one.
Montclair?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm close enough for that now. Let me just check one more time, see if Brian's in there. KT2ALZ and 1LU. I guess he shut it down. I'll meet you over there.
KT2, BOR clear.
1LU clear.
Hey, Brian. Charlie was looking for you. Just hang in there. I'll tell him to come back here. We were on the other band, but we'll come back here.
Okay, I just want to tell you guys, I'm probably going to head off too, but I'll wait a minute, yeah.
Okay, Roy. Yeah, okay, I'll be here for a minute. Yeah, I was on the HT, and then you said you switched over. I can't hit the other machine with the HT, so I was doing something on the other side of the house over here, so now I came back over here.
Yeah, I put that, I got that repeater that you guys went to in my VFO right now. I didn't log it into the radio yet. I only get it about an S6, S7, so I didn't even try to jump in.
Okay, yeah, it's really close to my house, so I can hit that machine with the HT on low power, you know, easily.
You could probably stick your head out the window and yell at it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I used to use an extra low. It's like no power at all, but I think it's not as strong as it used to be.
That's like Don, WA2ZOZ. He's not far from the Alpine machine that we're on now. He can take his THF6 on extra low power and hit it no problem.
Yeah, when I'm like doing stuff around the house, nice to be able to walk around the HT.
My girlfriend thinks I'm nuts when I walk around her house with the HT.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, some people are, they'll be like, what is that? You know, like, they're not sure exactly what it is. But, yeah, I pretty much, I live by myself now, so the only thing that looks at me when I'm on the, on the HT is my dog.
All right, tell people you're only doing, you're going back to your childhood. Remember when we were younger, we had those little walkie-talkies on the 49 megahertz or whatever it was. I forget what that was.
I know what you're talking about.
I remember back in my 11-meter days, I used to go in between channel 3 and 4, 7 and 8. They called them the RC channels. My buddy lived about a half a block away from me. I was making his son's robot walk into the wall.
Yeah. I used to mess around with the TV and stuff like that a long time ago when I was like a teenager.
82 BOR. My CB days started in 1969.
Yeah, mine were a lot past that. I'd probably say 93, maybe.
Hold on, Charlie's over there. Let me tell him to come over here.
And 1LU mobile.
Hey, what's up?
Where'd you go? I thought you went to bed. I called you a couple times.
Yeah, when you left that station on the HT, I was on the HT, I was on the other side of the house over there, so
By the time I got back over here, I guess I had to turn the mobile back on.
Must be a big house. Took you a while to get over there.
Not really. I just was doing something over there, and then I came back over here. I can't hit this machine with the HD.
You can't hit it, or you can?
No, not from down here. Not inside. Maybe outside.
I'll tell you, when they get it fixed up right, you might be able to. It used to have great coverage. It's really been going by the wayside. So they're going through some changes. It seems to be taking forever.
Yeah. What are they changing? The equipment out?
Yeah, they changed out the 440. I think that's all done. And that sounds not real great. Now they're doing that with the 2 meter one. They got the new repeater in, and I think the new antenna. Now they're waiting for a new amplifier and a preamp.
Okay, nice. So it should be sounding good then once they get that all together.
Yeah, I thought they were doing it yesterday when it was down, and I heard that they were up there at the site working on it. I thought they were installing all the new stuff and it was going to be fine, but realized that they didn't do that. Obviously, something's going on.
I just noticed my solar tank, one of my fishes looks like it's getting sick. Oh man, that's not good. I got to do a water change immediately, not tonight, but tomorrow.
Ahead, Rock.
Do I have Jim's call sign right, K2FJ?
Yeah, I believe that's it.
All right, I don't think I'm going to get into him this way because I don't have him in my email. I'm going to have to go to QRZ and email him from there.
Hopefully he's got it there. If you have an old email from the club, you can look on there and you might find his call sign in the list of addresses that they have usually when they make out a mass mailing. I know they just sent out a reminder to one of the lunches. His email may be in there, and you might be able to pick it out.
Hey, Charlie, I'm going to get running now. It's getting kind of late. I'm going to try to get some sleep. I'm getting a little tired.
Brian, which fish is sick?
Yeah, I don't know. One of the triggers. I don't know if he's sick or he just has some white stuff on him. And that's never a good sign of anything if they have any kind of stuff on him. So I'm going to have to do a water change and possibly medicate the tank. So that's not a good thing, but I'm due for a water change tomorrow, actually. So sometimes when you get toward the end of the when you need to do a water change, sometimes there can be too much nitrates and stuff in the water, and they can get a little bit, their immune system can get a little weak. So I got to test the water and whatnot. But I'm going to have to do that tomorrow. Right now, I'm just going to, there's nothing really I can do right now except for turn the filter up a little bit, but that's about it.
Yeah, well, that's too bad. You know, I know about that. I remember when my fish got spots on them. It wasn't a good sign. Well, I hope it works out for you. And I hope it's not too expensive.
Yeah, no, I mean, the medication's not too bad. It's probably, for like 3 weeks, it's probably like $25 or something. Not too bad. But, yeah, have a safe trip out there, man, tomorrow. Have a good time. And, I'll be on. You can, if you're at the house or something this weekend, give me a text. We can try out the simplex. I want to try that out.
Yeah, okay, very good, no problem. Talk to you later. KC2ALZ, N1LU.
Good night, Rock. Also, okay, N1LU, KC2ALZ. Have a good night, guys.
73, Brian.
Back to Montclair.
82, BOR, clear.
No, you clear.